flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Live in Leesburg, Grant and Danny with you on The Fan. Thank you for making the show part of your day. We're at the Green Tree Tavern. We're going to be out here until 6:30 when we head over to the Tally Ho Theater for tonight's big 106.7 The Fan live event. If you've got those tickets, I've talked to a lot of people out here who said, yeah, I tried to get tickets and I couldn't.
I get it.
They're a hot commodity. We are brought to you by the law firm of Cundori and Murad.
We love those guys. I want to remind you that as Washington continues to build that foundation on and off the field, it's time for you to plan for your future as well. It's an exclusive sponsor of the show, the law firm of Condori and Murad. It's going to help you update your last will and testament, revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorney today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that Grant and Danny sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
So I saw this story yesterday afternoon. I thought we should talk about it on the show. The NFL this season recorded its fewest number of concussions since it began tracking the data in 2015. The league announced yesterday that this was the best year in terms of concussion avoidance on record since they've been tracking this. A total number of 182 concussions during games and practices. That includes the preseason and the regular season. A 17% drop in concussion rate from 2023. Now, this is a big deal, in my opinion, Danny.
Yep.
Because, as you know, there are more concussions reported now than ever before. Like 10 years
ago, out for, yeah,
there were probably a million concussions we didn't know about. Nowadays, we are you're either being pulled off the field by an independent red hat who just says, you got hit in the head. I think you're concussed. And you're going, I'm fine, dude. He's going, nope, go back and get checked. So even by that standard of the number of guys that are self-reporting that are smarter about it now, or just individual non-team affiliated doctors that are pulling you off the field, we still are down 17%.
That's, which is remarkable. That is excellent. That is really, really good news. So, I don't mean to be flippant about these or trivialize them, right? I'm just trying to offer way of example kind of to your point here. We've always been able to tell the difference between, I'm just picking on ones that we saw for our team. When Austin Eckler gets knocked out against Dallas, right, on the kickoff return, that's never required a red hat. That's never required any special intervention to figure anything out. That's always been normal. Not normal, but you know what I mean. That's always been something that we can see.
Although, if I could say this, so what you're referencing, for people that don't remember that concussion, he is out cold on the field.
Yes.
I hate to use this word, but he's lifeless.
Yeah.
And not moving. and he is unconscious momentarily. Clear concussion. And you would say, yeah, but that's always been the end of a player's day, and they're not going to keep playing. Incorrect. I can give you a specific example. I've talked to him about it. There is a video of Brian Mitchell getting hit so hard that same thing has happened to Austin Eckler, basically.
Yep.
He goes to the ground. He is knocked out cold. He plays again in that game. That was just how it used to go. So it is not true, in my opinion, to just say, oh, well, that one's obvious. Like, we've always known those. Yeah, we could tell, but we didn't have the same understanding of what concussions were. So, like, that didn't end players' games before. How crazy is that?
Very. But I guess in recent years, I'm going somewhere with this. In recent years, we've had that one filed away. We're good. We get what to do there, right? The new era is the Jalen Hurts concussion, where it took somebody going, the referee going, are you okay? Jalen Hurts says yes. I don't blame him. He's concussed. And an intervention happens, and he comes off the field, and he's now, you know, out and dealing with it for a little while. So that's the advancement to me. That's kind of your point about the new world order, the new way these guys are kind of doing things. And even with that increase in perception and detection, to be down that percentage is massive. And I guess ultimately the big picture is that now, okay, you know, wash your hands, job well done, or do you need more? Do you kind of, you know, kind of keep swinging the pendulum in a certain direction? What's the deal?
So you look at the specifics of the information they provided, and one of the areas where there's been a lot of growth is the kickoff.
Yep.
Which should not surprise anybody. And we really haven't revisited the new kickoff since early in the year when people didn't like how it looked. I'd say it worked really, really well.
It worked.
Now, I was a proponent of it all along because I'm a big spring football guy, United Football League. Before that, the XFL, which is where this came from. But the concussion rate dropped by 43% on the league's newly designed kickoff, which should surprise nobody because it used to be that you're getting a head start from the 30 and you're colliding at the 15 at full speed and the other blockers are just kind of sitting ducks waiting flat-footed. Now, you line up 5 yards apart and you come together, there's just not a lot of ramp-up time. You know, you think about it like a runway. The airplane can't get up to speed if it's a 10-foot runway.
Yeah.
So, obviously, the concussions are down, and that is certainly the case. 43% is what the league has said. Concussions are down on kickoffs, and that is despite the fact that returns are up massively, and I can give you those numbers as well. But the returns, more bountiful than we've had in years and years, concussions way down. So that's an example to me of where they got creative, they found a solution. I think it improved the football product, and it made players safer. Normally, players getting safer means the football product gets worse. I don't think that happened on the kick return.
Not on the kick return, no. It's still something that aesthetically I don't enjoy. I'll be fully transparent about it. I don't like it. But this is the argument that you and I, not the argument with each other, but we're sort of discussing in general with baseball and some of the rule changes and long-time traditions and things the way that they were done forever, is as long as I still get even a slightly watered-down version of the thing that I love, I'll take it. I understand that games change, that times change, that information changes, and, you know, everything evolves. If you look at the basketball in the 1950s, it's a two-handed set shot, and the idea that you shoot too far away from the hoop was a rogue idea, you know, and now the game is all threes. Everything changes. Games morph, and I understand that. They evolve. So I don't like the way it looks. I don't enjoy it. What I do like are kick returns. So if I've got to pay a price of a weird setup to get my kick return, I'll take it. Because I went from having none ever, ball booted out of the end zone, even squibs are going to bounce, the guy makes, I'm a little T, and you know, the play's over, and it's time for another commercial break, and we've got 6 consecutive minutes with no football happening. No to that. So the adjustment was needed. I'm glad they did it this way. So, you know, and again, I know Washington fans are kind of be like, you guys are talking about Austin Eckler's concussion. That happened on a kick return. But in general, the big picture, it is true, less dangerous, right? And I think you still get the thing that we all kind of wanted. That's a win for me for the league.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. I think that's where they're going to try to be as often as possible. Because the game, I was watching one of these NFL Network, like, games, it wasn't that network, but, you know, where they rerun championship games of yesteryear, or they go back a decade ago or whatever. It's funny how recently the game is unrecognizable in terms of the moment you see a massive hit in the middle of the field, you're looking for a flag. The moment you see a big tackle, you're going, if it's loud, if it looks violent, you're looking for a penalty.
I mean, defenders now, as soon as the pass falls incomplete, what do?
Yeah.
They don't celebrate right away. They stand up and they turn 360. Is there any laundry on the field? That's probably not great, but it's the league now.
It is. And I think to an extent it's been necessary and it's worked. But here is my question. And I think we could pose this on the phones at 800-636-1067 on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Where do you think the line is drawn by the league eventually, or is it? Like, is one concussion too many?
Mm.
Is that their idea that we're down 17%, that's a big win, but we need to be down 25%? And you deal with this in your own jobs, I'm sure, where it's like, hey, we hit our quota, but let's raise the quota. You know, whatever that is.
Yep.
I just wonder what their philosophy is. It is a violent game that players are opting into. I think mostly the changes that are being made are worthwhile and are good and don't affect the game negatively enough that you would say, that's not worth my viewing experience. But at some point, I think we all agree, there's information now given to the players they didn't used to have. Nobody's making you play. You opt into this. Like, where is the goal of what percentage is acceptable in this violent game? And when do you stop changing rules, tweaking rules, trying to take away from adding more penalties, more contact, being illegal? I don't have an answer. I'm just asking a question.
It is such a hard thing, too, because I'm making up a number. Forgive me. I'm talking out of my the backside here. But let's say I go, hey, there were 100 concussions in the league this year. That's really good. Let's not tweak any rules. Immediately, someone could go, you're okay with 100 people having brain damage? Oh, crap. No, I want zero. And then when I get down to zero, dude, it's not football anymore. There's a balancing act, to your point. There's always going to be a risk of injury in this 70 play per team car wreck that happens. I mean, it is one of the most violent games ever invented, and there are inevitable negative results from that, right? And I don't say that lightly. I mean, that is a thing. And these guys, to your point, opt in with eyes wide open for our entertainment and to enrich themselves and to play this game that they love so much. So, you know, like you could think again to bring it to baseball, a guy getting hit by a pitch, breaking a hand, missing a season, maybe costing himself millions of dollars over the lifetime of his contract if it's at the wrong point in the arc of his career. Is one guy getting hit by a pitch too many? Is 1,000 guys getting hit too many? Where's the line go? This is a philosophical question you have to answer. I always think you try to do better without altering the fabric of the game that everybody loves.
Mm-hmm.
And that balancing act takes really smart people not making everybody happy.
Yeah.
So the play where a quarterback is sacked, but he's not sacked in a very peaceful way or something. You know, the momentum of a player lands on top of him, and that official can't wait to throw the flag. And not only is it not a sack, but it's 15 yards the other way, and it's really 25 yards the other way because the sack didn't go for -1. It was a 10-yard play that was colossal. But no. It happened in a way that we didn't like to protect the quarterback. It's just so frustrating. And yet, I understand the point behind it.
Well,
right?
I'm glad you brought up the quarterback part, because I think that is one area where the league has lost their way a little bit, is any kind of contact around the quarterback is now Zapruder filmed. You know, right? Like any kind of contact. Here's the fix, I think, to that. The first thing they have to do, I think roughing the passer penalties have to be either allowed to be helped by the buzz from up top, like replay assist, which it sounds like they're thinking about, or it should be challengeable. I think a roughing the passer penalty, because here's why. We have now enough proof over a few years that officials cannot properly legislate this in real time. It's too hard. You can't really tell where did he hit him, where didn't he, did he get him in the face mask or not. The worst one, the dumbest one, did he land on him with all of his
it's
body
the
weight?
Landing on him. Oh, man.
When I see a legitimate form football tackle clean on time of a quarterback, and it's a game changer. These penalties are so huge. They're auto firsts on third and long. They continue drives and get you points. They change outcomes sometimes on huge drives. starting a 2-minute drill from your shadow of your own goal line. I think that'd be one fix, is just at least making it reviewable. But to me, if we're going to put the kickoff in the category of win for the league, a lot of people didn't mind it. It actually enhanced the product in the sense that there were more returns and the game got safer. That's kind of the golden idea. The antithesis of that is whatever's going on with quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Maybe you could say they're safer. I'm sure they are, actually.
Yeah, I mean, look,
you can't touch them.
Well, yes, but remember it was a couple years ago where it was the first round of the playoffs was everybody's backup.
Yeah.
And you're going, or whatever that time of the year was, and we're going, look at what's happening in the league right now. Quarterbacks were healthier this year, you know, by and large. And I think there's a rhyme or reason to that. The NFL wants that. They want the guy for the pregame intro, the story to be about the guy. As our boy Steve Zabin says, it's a TV show about quarterbacks. So I think they're getting what they want there. As much as fans gripe and grouse, nobody's turning the TV off. But there is an empirical right way to do it when it comes to that. The thing I worry about with review, and again, you and me have just spitballing here, hypothermically speaking, let's say I'm a defender and I'm rolling by. I'm not going to be able to get a full grasp of you, but maybe the football is a piece of candy. I can almost reach for it. But the guy's pushing me, and now I brush your helmet. Nothing's called, but you're the offensive team. You could motion to your head, tell your guy, throw the challenge flag because he touched my head. Not in a malicious way, not in a Reggie White head slap kind of way, but I made contact with your helmet.
So I
worry about that when we start applying replay to things. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I always think about the downside.
I agree with that. I don't know that that's how it would work. I think, number one, there's a way to determine if it had anything to do with the actual play. I hesitate to put...
It'd have to be thoughtfully done.
I hesitate to put more, like, arbitrary decision-making on the plate mm-hmm. of officials. But the other thing is, I think the way you would do it is... It's reviewable if called. You wouldn't be able to review that it happened when not called, which is how a lot of things work. You can't throw a challenge flag to say, that guy interfered with my receiver. No, sorry, I didn't call it. You throw a challenge flag, if we do it this way, after a penalty for PI to say it wasn't PI. So I don't think the offensive team would be able to challenge that I missed someone touching a face mask. Because that's not really part of how replay works now.
So you wouldn't want to be able to have a, like, hey, man, you drilled this guy out of bounds, roughing the passer or whatever.
That's a buzz from upstairs.
Yeah.
Hey, and that's like you missed an egregious one.
And you used it that way, yeah.
You missed an egregious
no,
one.
No, I like that, man.
But,
that makes
but how
sense
we do
me.
It now is, was the call wrong? It's mm-hmm. not let's add calls that mm-hmm. we missed. It's was the call wrong. Missed, to me, is more stomachable. I don't know if you agree with that. Then... You got it wrong. Because miss just means football happened and the game was being
yeah.
played.
I actually tend to agree with that. The egregious one that wasn't, that gets called, that's the one that's hardest to deal with. You know, a bang-bang play where it could go either way. Like, again, the perfect encapsulation of this to me, I know it's not quarterback, but is Saquon Barkley on the sideline with I believe it was Mikey Sammer still, right? Letter of the law probably, whether it's the right call or not, it was close enough. It could have gone either way. It stinks that it went against Washington. Really was a pivotal moment in the game that really cost him a lot. That one I don't need replay, right? That one's not one of those. But if it's like he's in bounds by 5 yards and he knocks him out of bounds and throw the flag, that's way more devastating than a bang-bang play that went against you, right? I think that makes sense. That's a good thesis.
If you guys want to hop in on our discussion here, you can. The MGM National Harbor listener lines are open at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. Bill Belichick wants to rename the Lombardi Trophy. We'll explain next.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Alongside Danny Ruye, I'm Grant Paulson. This is The Fan. We are taking you up to 6:30 tonight, live from the Green Tree Tavern.
This place rules. It is packed with Washington fans. Yeah. Yeah. Making some noise of themselves. This place is awesome. Delicious food stuffs. Good folks. Good fun. The whole nine yards. Right here, one of the main drags of gorgeous old school Leesburg. Just this is what I think of when I think of Leesburg. You know, like just really friendly people, like a beautiful sort of cityscape, but low-key, not like a bustling Manhattan or something like that. You know, it's like one of these, like, quaint small towns, but it's still urban enough. Coffee shops, good stuff all around. This eatery is great. Tally Hook Theater around the corner is a blast. I love it here, man.
Yeah, I'm Team Leesburg. I'm a big Leesburg guy.
It's a Leesburg guy.
We should make more trips out to Leesburg, as far as I'm concerned.
You ever been the Grand Marshal of anything in Leesburg?
I don't believe I have.
We got to start talking to people about being grand marshals in different places.
That's a wacky bit.
I just thought of that. We met a guy at the last one. I think he might have been sick for it. When we were in Manassas, he's like, hey, I've been the grand marshal at the Manassas parade. You guys want to do some grand marshaling? And I was like, yes, we do.
Love to do it.
I'll speak from Grant. Grant's got a grand marshaling experience.
I do.
I don't.
I was the grand marshal of the King George County Fall Festival.
It's a huge deal. Tell people what you gave out. What'd you give out to the people?
Lots of candy.
Candy.
Threw out some candy. I got to hold a goat.
You held the goat.
That was pretty cool. I've got pictures.
Yeah.
Of myself. There's like a Jeep, and I'm like leaning over, throwing out candy. It was a good time.
It was like the town Jeep, and you're right there at the top throwing out candy, holding a goat.
Bill Belichick
wants
to rename the Lombardi Trophy.
Now, my response real quick is I don't, and I think he's wrong. But tell people what he says.
So he wants and thinks that the Lombardi Trophy should be renamed for Tom Brady. Because I think his point is that the game is about players. Players matter more. Brady is the GOAT in terms of, not the one I was holding, to be clear.
Thank you. Good distinction.
But in terms
you were
of
holding Tom Brady.
Winning and no, I would have been holding Peyton Manning, obviously.
Whoa, inflammatory.
Holding greatest of all time. But nobody wins more than Tom Brady. Nobody's had more success than Tom Brady. So Belichick wants to change the Lombardi Trophy to be the Brady Trophy.
Yeah, I think it's stupid. I understand his point. The game's about players. That doesn't change, by the way, with keeping the trophy the same name that it's been. You see what I'm saying? Like, there's no Super Bowl. There's no kind of, like, original concept of AFC versus NFC without Vince Lombardi. Like,
yeah.
To me, it is the synonymous name. It's a great tradition. There's no reason to change it because Tom Brady was really good. You see what I'm saying? Like, if Pat Mahomes gets 8 championships, that's going to be the Mahomes Trophy, dog. That's how it's going to be. I'll host the Mahomes. No, we're not doing that. We don't have to change it every time some like a great player comes along. It's not the Michael Jordan Trophy. It's the Larry O'Brien Trophy. Like let's keep it like it is. There's no reason to change it. You make a good point about the games about players, Bill. My response to you, Double B, head coach of North Carolina Tar Heels, is there's going to be a lot of players that are great that are going to come along. You know what I mean? Like, let's leave it alone.
I've actually got a theory, by the way.
Oh.
A little bit of a tinfoil hat situation. I think he's saying this so that he's inextricably linked then to the guy who's named to it. So that we start debating, like, we're like, Tom Brady's name is, this will take years, but it's on the trophy. But Bill Belichick was the real reason that Tom Brady's name was on the trophy. And so, like, he wants to be closer to it. Does that make sense? I feel like there's a little bit of a selfish angle to all of this.
Oh.
Whereas I don't think he has anything against Vince Lombardi, but he's like, oh, it's about players. Tom Brady's the player that wins all the trophies. Really? If Tom Brady has his name on the trophy, eventually someone like me in 30 years is going to be like, you know, Bill Belichick was every bit as responsible for all those trophies as Tom Brady. What about the Belichick trophy? Moves it closer to being him on the trophy.
The Belichick-Brady trophy. Or the Bill Belichick Coach of the Year or something like that.
Like, when does he come out to be some big Tom Brady backer or some big, you know, just all about the players? I haven't really gotten that sense. Have you?
No. Maybe he's trying to do a, you know, convert to the new school, right? Maybe he's trying to do a, hey, guys, look how forward-thinking I am. I'm Bill Belichick. I'm not stuck in my ways. Game's about players. Scheme, schmeme, right? Right? Anybody buying it? I'm not. I think there's some. I smell what you're cooking over there, by the way. It's not, your hat isn't made of tinfoil, but it's not conventional material. You know what I mean?
I just need Bill Belichick to not go coach at North Carolina and to stop wanting to rename trophies. Nothing he's done the last few months makes any sense to me. I don't get it. All the legendary college coaches are running just for the hills. They want nothing to do with this era of college football. Bill Belichick's like, I want to coach in college.
I'd like to do that. I'm going to sign up for that. By the way, I'm fascinated. You basically couldn't believe it happened even after he, like, had his opening press conference and, like, the contract
I'm still, until he coaches a game, I am skeptical.
So I think this is like a Petrino type situation, but in reverse, right? Where he's going to be in college for like an hour, and the first time he gets a call from like some, you know, one of his like junior assistants or academic coordinator, where it's like, you know, little Stevie didn't go to his geology class today, and he's got to deal with that. Like, at the first time, it's like, this is so aggressively not professional, right? They're pros in the sense that they're getting paid. There's an NIL collective, and you know, the whole slush fund and all that kind of stuff. He's got a GM for that, and Michael Lombardi, our guy. But the first time he's got to deal with, so they were in the dorm last night and they have a noise violation. What are you going to do about that, Bill? What discipline? He's like, I'm not doing this anymore. I think this is a short-lived thing. That's my own view.
Yeah, him putting up with all of the stuff that comes with being a college coach, hard for me to fathom. But it feels like he's got a favorite child. And Tom Brady, among the players that he coached, which brings me to this story, Danny.
Oh.
That I wanted to bounce off of you from the CBC. I don't know what that is.
That's the Center for Broadcasting Centers.
I'm sure it is. Parents really do have a favorite child.
Uh-oh.
New study suggests. And it's probably exactly who you think it is. Which is a hilarious headline. So, like, all my siblings always joke out loud. So it's like, how much of a joke is it? That I'm my mom's favorite. I have two brothers and a sister.
Yep.
And, like, if I can't make it to Thanksgiving, we'll do Thanksgiving another day. It's kind of one of those situations. I think it would be that way for anyone in the family, but they like to make a big deal like I'm special and get special treatment. But I ask you, Father, Danny Rouye, what do you think of this study that parents really do have a favorite child?
I'm saying absolutely not. There's no way that anybody could ever convince me that this is in any way accurate at all. And if you see on the YouTube page what I just did, you know how I feel about it. I know who yours is, by the way. I'm not going to say it on the radio. I'm not going to blow anybody's spot up, but I absolutely know.
You think I have a favorite child?
I know you have a favorite child. I'm aware of the information. I'm not going to sell you out like that because I don't know who's listening to what and what word might get back to whom.
Oh, no.
But I do know it very well.
Oh, boy. I don't know how I feel about this. I will say this. On any given day, I do have a favorite child. Like, there's days where one of the kids is acting great.
Yep.
And another one's acting terrible.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to take you to the movies, man. Can we just have some fun?
Can we just do that?
My daughter's being super cute. My son's being a maniac. That day I have a favorite child. I think you always, at any given moment, have a favorite kid. I think it changes at all times. Does that make any sense?
It does, but here's the thing. Let me rephrase it this way. You've got one that more times than other times is your one seed.
Mm. Is this based on me talking about this person
a lot?
Yeah,
it is.
Really?
And it's one of the
things. Your evidence is getting thrown out of court.
Well, it's probably one of the things. And again, I'm not trying to convict you of anything.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that we've got enough built up things in the database where if, like, you were to write down a name or whatever, it's the same name I'd write down. You see what I'm saying? Like, there are some days where you're like, man, this is so annoying. Not a good day for this kid or that kid or whatever. Which I get. And again, I'm not trying to accuse you of anything. I just have.
It sounds accusatory.
I guess it is kind of accusatory. I know who your favorite kid is, though. Is that an accusation?
Slight accusation. But shtick aside.
Yeah.
I get the idea that, like, if you're a parent, you're not really having a favorite. But don't you think most families know who the parents like the most?
Yes.
Like, you and your sister.
Yep.
Know which one of you is your dad's and your mom's favorite.
There is. And never was a question as to who that was.
Seriously.
It wasn't old Fannie Mou Ye. I'll tell you that right now. It wasn't old Randall Douye.
But would your sister agree to terms?
Now, she would pretend that it was otherwise.
Yeah.
At some sort of, like, weird thing. But once she arrived on the scene, the entire program became about not upsetting her.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So it began to revolve around her. She was the solar system. You see what I'm saying? Like, I had activities. People would take me to things.
I was going to say, I feel like they... Because you were playing baseball and all this stuff, mm-hmm. your parents were heavily involved in your endeavors.
Yo, and because I, you know, before I was old enough to drive, my dad had to drive me to these things, right? Get carpooled or whatever. But the house became hers. The television became hers. My Nintendo became hers.
It feels like we're starting to do a little therapy here, doesn't it? I mean, Danny's workshopping some things he's been holding in.
Listen,
for decades.
Well, they've come out very loudly at family events, and maybe we can't have Thanksgiving the same way anymore because of it. But the point of the dude's story is, it was always obvious and clear. Look, she was the Grant of the family, right? Where Whoa. The whole thing was...
Big allegation.
Well, the whole thing was about her. Now, she wasn't on David Letterman at 9,
yeah.
but, like, everything that we were doing had to be, well, she's a vegetarian this month, or she... We have to pretend with her boyfriend that she's allergic to fish. Or we have to do all these different things to make her happy. And nobody asked me what I wanted.
All right, but let me ask you this.
Sure.
I believe, this is my own personal opinion. So my siblings think that my mom likes me best. And I think it's because me and my mom are the closest in personality. So in other words, my mom isn't just making sure that we're home by 1 o'clock for the Redskins game in 1997 because I'll cry if we're not home, which was a thing. Mm-hmm. She also wanted to be home.
Yeah.
My mom isn't when we're going out to eat and everyone's like, let's do Mexican, let's do tacos, let's do Chinese. And I'm going, everyone knows I just want a burger and fries or wings. You know who else wants that? My mother.
Mm-hmm.
So my point is, I don't think it was always just about old GP here. I think me and her, our proclivities were the closest. And so she was really speaking for a third of the family. Should a third of the family not have a vote in what we're doing and how we're doing it?
It's all reasonable to me, but it also means that they're right that you were the favorite.
How do you get to there?
You got what you wanted more than everyone else because she agreed with you all the time.
Hmm. I don't know that I did. I guess I certainly see what you're saying.
Yeah. Of four kids, a third is too big a proportion to get your way. See what I'm saying? So what should be, if everything, if all things are equal,
25% of the time.
It should be a quarter of the time.
But if
you get 33%, that's bigger than 25%.
Yeah, I think food, like dinner stuff, is different because everyone's got to eat. So if somebody's picky, you're probably dealing with the picky person's proclivities, right? But yeah, from a sports standpoint, I will say, like, my sister would get so annoyed, or my brother, who was into, like, Star Wars, would be so mad because we weren't going somewhere or doing something or being out as long because I had to be home in time for a game. But my point is, my mom also, she's watching every Caps game, every Nats game. She's Mark for the Commanders. She's a huge fan.
So I'm playing, just again, by way of example, I'm playing on this travel soccer team where it's pretty serious. It's like a pretty big deal.
Is this currently or back in the day?
Yeah, this is.
Because you have a lot of weird sports to do at night.
Yeah, you know, as a 45-year-old, I'm playing for the McLean Lightning travel soccer.
You play pickup basketball and pickleball, so who knows?
I will just say that I'm not in the I'm not playing for the 78 year born McLean Lightning travel soccer team in Virginia Beach State Tournament.
Very good.
Like, it's pretty serious. Like, it's a pretty big commitment. Three practices a week, a couple games per weekend, etc. I was late to multiple practices because my sister couldn't leave the house without her little stuffed animal that she sucked her thumb with.
Oh, Soft Bunny.
Similar to Soft Bunny. Now, this isn't when she's two. This is when she's 10.
That's tough.
We can't go to the practice where she's going to come right back home.
She's catching some shrapnel today.
And it's not the kids have their own things. My point is, it was worth it to my parents to have me have to run laps or sprints or be disciplined or benched or have all sorts of catastrophes happen to me in a sporting universe as I'm screaming and pleading, the damn thing will be there when she gets back home. Find it when we return. We don't need it for the car trip where I'm going to combat roll out of our 87 Toyota Corolla wagon. And we couldn't leave until we found the stupid thing, which apparently was so important that she lost time after time after time. That's what you do for the favorite.
Okay.
See what I'm saying? You don't go see Star Wars. You don't go to the other thing. You just get the burger and fries because the favorite is going to be upset.
Does Josh Harris have a favorite player?
Well, obviously, we want to commend all our players, but yes.
He loves Jaden Daniels, right?
He's my one seed.
Of course. Does Danny Ruye have a favorite impression that he does?
Yeah, but it's not the one that you like. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, I go through phases. I go through phases.
I mean, but what's your favorite impression?
Right now, I love doing Trump.
Oh, you're Trump over your Barkley?
No, just because I do my Barkley so much.
Yeah.
They're like, I have so much fun talking like Trump all the time.
So, for example, we're going to talk. There's tea, right? It's very hot. Okay, because some people will drink iced tea, not me, okay? You don't give me credit. It's a terrific, very strong tea. It's got mint in it. Very, very delicious, okay? So, like, I love doing that.
But if you have a favorite impression,
yes,
then parents have a favorite kid.
That's
what I'm saying.
Parents have a favorite kid.
It seems like we agree to the terms.
And it's Grant.
It's not me. I don't know who it is.
Your siblings are correct, by the way. I've only observed a handful of times. It's obvious, man.
I'm not so sure.
The whole party's catered to you. There's a reason there's meatballs in a cup at the Paulson house.
There's going to be meatballs. But everyone else has their food, too.
Yeah.
I'm just allowed to get mine. We should all get equal treatment around here. Grant and Danny on the Fan. I want to try to find CK so that we can try to figure out what we're doing tonight. It's a lot of, like, you and I hosting this thing, but nobody really knows what this thing is. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, what it is.
So Tally Ho Theater's coming up quick. I'd like some instruction.
Mm.
Maybe we could have an off-air meeting on air next on Grant and Danny.
Not that much time left here on Grant and Danny, live from the Green Tree Tavern in the heart of Leesburg. We're about 30 minutes away from sauntering our fat buttocks right down the road, heading over to the Tally Ho Theater. Doors at 7 over there. Show's going to start at 8. If you got a ticket, you're in luck. If you don't, sorry about it. Those things are a blast, and they sell out very quickly. But this has been an awesome afternoon, GP, just kind of hanging out with a bunch of folks that are just chopping it up with each other, eating, drinking, and making merry.
Did you just spill all over Ryan?
I did.
Ryan, sure did, he spill all over you? I've already turned your mic on. Just speak.
Yeah, he did.
I did. Yeah.
He did. It's actually funny because he quite literally walked by right before that, and he was like, don't want to spill anything, but oh, got it. Perfect. Spilled something right away, like literally right away.
Trying very hard to not spill, and I'm like very conscious of it. We had to rearrange some chargers previously, some LA chargers.
Yeah, what's going on? You've moved my charger like 13 times. What's happening with
that? Well, just because I don't want to trip on cords, okay. And I don't want to trip on different things, and this, you know, we're in a tight spot over here.
The charger thing has bothered you a lot, it seems like.
Not bothered. It's a worry about tripping and spilling stuff.
Okay.
And I've tried so hard not to. I was actively trying not to. I thought I was clear. Turns out I was not. I spilled water all over Ryan's lap, so it looks like he couldn't control himself, and I feel badly about that. That's not what happened. I spilled on him. It's my fault.
Jeans, where did it get you?
I mean, it got me where, I mean, everyone can see right now in the restaurant. It got me in the spot where you do not want to see.
The old crotchy crotch.
Right there in the middle.
If peeing your pants is cool, consider me Miles Davis.
It's the grossest thing I've ever heard. Yeah. That's me. I did that.
That's tough.
Yep.
As you were talking about never spilling.
I was like, I'm trying not to spill. Don't spill. Like, I think I'm good. And then, boom.
So do you know, someone has just asked me at the bar, and I don't have an answer for this.
Okay.
They said, so what are you guys doing tonight?
Yep.
And I said, that's a good question.
It's a great question.
So there's a show.
Yes.
We're going to be on it.
Yes.
I've been told that we're even emceeing it.
Yes.
That's the extent of what I know about this program.
Here's how it's going to go, okay? Because this is the type of thing I am very – I'm annoying in a lot of ways, as you and everybody knows. But show logistical stuff. Like, if I'm going to be doing a show performing in front of live people, I need logistics to be squared away and settled. So I read these things, and I incorporate them, and I know what's happening. So I've got you, if you're ready for it.
I'm ready.
8 o'clock. We're going to have the big voice guy, ladies and gentlemen, whatever, however he sounds, you know. Please welcome to the stage, Fanny Mouye.
Okay.
Attention, starved horse's ass, right? And I come up, Imperial March. Welcome, everybody. Thanks for being here. 10 to 12 minutes of roast. Don't listen to that if you're Grant, JP, EB, Kinks, Bish, and Brian Mitchell. Just stay backstage. Don't worry about it. Then I bring up you. Here's my friend, Grant Paulson, 11 years. Hey, Grant. Grant comes up. We talk about a couple things.
Yeah.
For about 15 minutes or so, 15 to 17 minutes, right? We got a couple different topics we'll discuss amongst ourselves. Then we'll call on the stage, B. Mitch and J.P. Finlay. And we're going to usher them through a couple other topics, more to their liking, to their ilk, behind the scenes, fun stuff. Then we bring on the junkies, do the same thing. And then we bring up everybody, and we're kind of, again, running the show in terms of moving people from topic to topic, kind of calling on guys, making the whole thing flow. And that's the end of the show.
There will be DC sports banter.
Yes.
And then there's going to be some general radio insider shtick.
Yeah. It's basically the catnip for the junks P1s.
Yeah.
That's what this is.
Okay. I can dig that.
Yep.
They'll all be on site. The whole staff is coming.
Yeah. Everybody's here, man.
I love that because we've done this in the past. It's always like minus one guy, you know, for whatever reason.
People have had stuff. Yeah.
You missed one year because you got something
going on. Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
It's a blast, man. I was worried about J.P. Finlay, who missed the show yesterday. I'm hearing like things like bronchitis are involved.
There was some talk of bronchitis.
And I was like, oh, it sucks. We always have somebody missing. But I heard him on air today, so it sounds like he'll be
live
in person.
He sounded
like J.P. Finlay.
Okay.
He sounded good.
So he's not bronchial.
I don't know if he's contagious bronchial. I don't know if he's walking bronchial. I don't really know bronchitis. I just sort of said bronchial like it was a thing. I don't even know if that's right.
I like it.
Thanks.
So we've got ourselves a little rundown.
Yep.
And we'll be navigating.
You can see it. I mean, there's highlights and everything. We're going to have note cards. There's audio cues. There's visual.
So the audio cues, I will say, I that is kind of what I want to double click on with somebody. How sure are we about that?
We're pretty sure.
We're just going to throw to an audio cue and someone's going to play something?
Yes.
You think that's going to happen correctly?
I do. Here's why. It's the Tally Ho Theater.
Oh, so they're doing it, not us.
So it's saying it's the Tally Ho Theater is sort of like saying it's the Catalina wine mixer.
I understand
that. You know what I mean? Or it's the pancake
mix. I trust the Tally Ho Theater implicitly.
That's
but
it.
I, like, are they the ones playing it, or are our guys, like, we are playing it? Like, is Clary touching these buttons?
He's above that now.
Okay.
He's supervising the entire thing. Yeah.
Sure. He's got a brand new car because he's corporate.
Right. Seriously. You know, you seen that bright, shiny new car?
Beautiful vehicle.
Expensive.
Yeah.
That car.
That's what happens when you get corporate.
That's that corporate thing, right? It happens. You have to maintain the image all the time.
That was great today.
Such a
good
line.
He was telling us about his new car, and we're like asking him questions. And then Chris, who's our engineer, comes up and he's like, would you get a new car? Ryan's like, yeah, dude. And he was telling about the car. He's like, wow, that corporate money kicked
in
already.
That corporate money, and I slapped my knee.
That's pretty good.
I got a guffaw out of that one.
Hard to top that. Josh Harris wrote a letter to fans. Want to talk about that with my pal Danny Rouillet next. We're taking you up to 6:30 at the Green Tree Tavern. Then we're headed over to our big event in Leesburg tonight at Tally Ho Theater. You're locked into the Fan.